left-hand side for Vieira, who'll play it through to Gabriel Jesus, who's in here for Arsenal. Gabriel Jesus to finish it off. Oh, what a way to do it! Gabriel Jesus seals the points for Arsenal. He's back, and he's back with a bang.
Into the penalty area it goes. Gabriel header, and it's into the back of the net. Arsenal take an early lead through Gabriel.
Listening to the Chronicles of Aguna, the daily Arsenal podcast with me, Harry Simeon.
Good afternoon, everybody. How's it going? Hope you're all good. Hope you're all well. Welcome back to another live edition of the Chronicles of Aguna, the Arsenal podcast, part of the 90 Min Football family. Hope everyone's having a great Wednesday so far. We woke up to some really positive news with regards to Takahiro Tomiyasu. We'll get into that in a little bit. We're also going to talk Victor Gyökeres, who continues to be linked with a move to Arsenal. I'm well aware that the transfer stuff, it really kind of picks up during the international breaks, probably because there's not that much else to talk about. But the reports that we're going to discuss today are certainly worth having a little bit of a dig into. We're also going to talk about a Premier League centre-back that Arsenal are said to be looking at. And we're going to discuss the greatest sauce Nando's have ever produced. Did I call it Nando's? Nando's. That's the one. Welcome along to the program. Hope you're all good. Hope you're all well. Let's dive straight into it without further ado. Okay, let's begin with the news that Takahiro Tomiyasu has signed a new contract with the Arsenal. He signed a long-term contract, according to the club's release. They talk about the fact that he joined us in August 2021 from Serie A side Bologna, who are absolutely flying at the moment, by the way. And since his signing, he's played in all of the positions across the defence, making 73 appearances for the Gunners so far. He's 25 years old, started his career with Avispa Fukuoka in his home city, where he progressed through youth football before making 45 first team appearances. During the transfer window of 2018, he moved to Europe, signing for the Belgian club Saint-Truiden. His strong performances resulted in him being voted the club's player of the year for the 2018-19 campaign. And in 2019, the summer, he joined Bologna, becoming a regular in their defence, of course, making 63 appearances during his spell there. Sporting director Edu says, "We're very excited to have Tommy with us for more years to come. He has huge qualities both on and off the pitch and offers so much strength and versatility to our squad. Tommy's a top professional, and it's great that he'll continue to play an important role in the coming years as we work towards achieving our goals." Manager Mikel Arteta had this to say: "We are so pleased to have Tommy commit his future with us. Together with his natural ability and strength, Tommy's attitude, mentality, and values are first class. He's loved by everyone and has been an integral part of the squad since joining us. The way he trains, with his desire and determination to be the best version of himself every day, is admirable. We look forward to continuing working with Tommy in the future years to come." The club website does go on to say that Tommy's new contract is subject to the completion of the regulatory process. And you can get more on this if you go over to arsenal.com. You can read the interviews and you can dive right into it. But I wanted to share some thoughts that I have on this news, okay? Because when I heard it, I thought, okay, you know, I've expected this. I think this has been in the works for a little while. It felt like it was coming, and it felt like we were at the stage where an announcement was due at any point. And then some of the details emerged, as reported by Tom Canton on football.london. It's understood that he signed until 2026 with the option of a further year. This is the interesting part, right? Because we haven't actually added that much time onto the end of the contract that Tomiyasu already had. And that has begged the question, or posed the question, or sparked the question among a lot of Arsenal fans as to, well, if we haven't added that many years, and if we've got to start thinking about this again in a couple of years' time, why have we done it? Why haven't we gone longer in terms of the term? Why haven't we given him a contract until 2027 instead of giving him an extension that takes him to 2026, which isn't that far beyond, as I say, the initial period that he had to run on the original contract. Well, it's due, in my opinion, to the length not really being the priority here. Now, what I mean by that is when Takahiro Tomiyasu sat down to negotiate this contract, or his representative sat down to discuss this contract, I'm pretty certain that the line that they would have led with was, we've got this player who, when available, is a big part of your squad. But when I look at his salary in comparison to some of the other salaries of players that maybe have similar roles in the group, or, you know, or of a similar age profile, of similar importance, he's way off. So the point I'm trying to make here is that the priority in these negotiations, I don't think, was to give Takahiro Tomiyasu more years. And why would it be? There have been plenty of injuries that have meant that, you know, we've not been able to utilize him in the way that we'd like. So there'd obviously be a little bit of reluctance on Arsenal's part in that sense. This was a contract negotiation designed to level up Takahiro Tomiyasu's salary in accordance with that of his peers and his teammates, rather than it being about adding more years onto the length of his stay with Arsenal Football Club. So that's the really important point here. And that's why when people are saying only till 2026, what was the point in that then? Because next year he's in the final 2 years and we're going to have to start talking about this again. So that's what this is about. That's what they've prioritized here. It's about leveling up the salary. We're in the Champions League now. We look as though we're going to be in it again next season. We know that a lot of players were brought in to Arsenal Football Club over the last few years with the idea of their salaries being bumped up when Arsenal got back in the Champions League, and we're there now. So this is probably something that has a lot more to do with money than it does the length of the contract. Now, I talk about injuries, and I do worry about injuries when it comes to Takahiro Tomiyasu. This guy's missed 11 Premier League games this season through injury, three, of course, due to international duty. So in total, he's been unavailable for 14 of our Premier League games so far. And the reality is that's too many. I love Takahiro Tomiyasu as a footballer. I think he's really well-rounded. I think he's really talented. I think his work ethic and attitude is spot on. But the best ability is availability. We always say that, don't we? We always talk about that. If you're not available, then it doesn't matter how good you are, you can't help the team. And I think that's probably played a part in, circling back to my previous point, why the decision's been taken not to add too much in terms of length on the end of this deal, but actually to use it to level up the salary and add a bit more time, but without really overly committing. Now, there are some players that are unlucky in certain seasons and have difficult runs and difficult periods in their careers, but they come through them. And eventually, you know, they put those problems behind them and they go back to being super available. There are other players that transfer from one league to another, struggle with the different demands of that particular league. We've seen that with Thomas Partey, flawless when playing for Atletico Madrid in terms of picking up injuries, comes here and struggles. Now, obviously, he's at a different stage in his career as well, which probably contributes there. But I think you can just basically never know, can you, how somebody's going to adapt to a new league and to new surroundings. But with the Tomiyasu thing, the reason I'm probably more concerned about his fitness than I would be anybody else who maybe missed 14 games this season is because this is an ongoing thing. If you go back to last season, he missed 15 of our Premier League games, so one more than he's missed so far this season. And we've still got plenty of time to go. So I think I can understand why Arsenal have done this the way that they have. And people will say, you're always defending the club and everything that they do. This doesn't make any sense. But I genuinely do think in this case, in the case of Takahiro Tomiyasu, where it was clear that we needed to boost his salary and we needed to put him on a level playing field or close to that with some of his peers, some of his teammates who have a similar importance to the squad and are of a similar age profile and all the rest of it, I think that the injury stuff did play a part here. And I think that's why you've got the very specific terms that we're seeing here. He's a very versatile player. His physical profile is great. And I think he's a really handy player to have around. But that's only when he's available. So I understand why Arsenal have done this deal the way that they have done it. Let me know your thoughts in the comments. I'll take a few of those before we move on to our next subject. Lots of love for Takahiro Tomiyasu in the chat. As I can see, Barrington says, good news. Dan says, hopefully he gets some better luck with injuries next season. Yeah, fingers crossed. We all want to see him fit. We all want to see him available. You know, there are games that I look at and I think, as much as Jakub Kivior's improved, he's still not a left back for me. And I know Takahiro Tomiyasu isn't either, but there are still some games where I look at, and I've looked at in recent months, and I've gone, I wish we had Tomiyasu. Like, if Tomiyasu hadn't been out for so long and he was fit and available and ready to really contribute, or at a level where he's at peak condition or close to, I would pick him at City over Kivior, because I just trust him a little bit more in that position, because it's more familiar to him than it is to Jakub Kivior, who has improved, who has got better. And I'm not saying should be criticised, but there are games where I look at it and I think Tomiyasu's your man for today. And Arteta proved last year that that was the case at certain points. Like, for example, when we played Liverpool at the Emirates and we were obviously concerned by the threat of Mo Salah, as everybody is. And Mikel Arteta went, Zinny, not today. Tierney even was in the picture that day. Nope, it's not going to be you. I don't even know, trying to think back now, I don't even know if Zinchenko was available, but I do remember that Kieran Tierney was available and Mikel Arteta specifically chose to play Tomiyasu at left back to stop that ball over the top and to deal with the very real threat of Mo Salah. And he picked him over Kieran Tierney. And I remember that day thinking, that's the end for Kieran Tierney, because if Mikel Arteta's picking someone who isn't even a left back to play left back in a massive game like this, when you're available, the writing is probably on the wall. So Arteta's proven that he believes in Tomiyasu's skill set, and he thinks there are certain cases and certain scenarios where he's the one to go with. And we're probably going to see that again between now and the end of the season, providing he can stay fit enough. Dan also says, I think they've done it the way they've done it, to not be tied down to a potentially injury-prone player. Dan says, in my opinion, if he has another injury-ridden season, they will look to sell next summer. Maybe, but obviously with that sort of added year of length on the end of the contract, then that does mean that the value is greater. And I know that injuries can devalue someone quite a bit, but that's at least something else in Arsenal's favour when they come to those negotiations, if that's indeed what it comes to. Diallo says, it's clear and obvious, love it that you're using the VAR terms, that the club sees his recurring injuries as a major concern. He needs to prove he can stay fit to get a longer deal. It's fine with me. Christoph says, it's a problem when we need a backup for a backup, even though Tommy is clearly a starting level player. Neil Cooper says, smashing player, but like Partey and Jesus, just doesn't spend enough time on the grass. Ambrose West says, Tommy understands his position really well. He's going to be a bench player this coming season and will be used less. Gunner Tings says, does this stop us from signing another defender in the summer? I don't think it does. I don't think it does. I really, really don't. John says, players like Tommy can play in three positions really well, so an increased wage was needed. Having him on the bench as a sub, he could come on as a left-back, right-back and a centre-back. He's an invaluable player. The N16 says, I would not pick Tommy over Kivior because Tommy lacks match fitness. Yeah, currently. I agree with you. Like, I wouldn't pick Tomiyasu for the City game in 11 days' time. But if this game was coming 3-4 weeks down the line, Tommy had got some minutes under his belt, had been able to work himself back up to speed, then I'd have a serious think about that. Okay, Owen says, sorry I'm late, catching up. To be fair, you don't exactly set a great example of timekeeping, pot kettle and all that. You're right, I don't, but I'm Greek, mate. I was born late. That's just how it works. But anyway, that's those are my thoughts on the Takahiro Tomiyasu news. New contract until 2026 with a further option of a year. And I think that's a club option, not the player. And they can decide whether they want to take that up or not. And that give them time to assess Takahiro Tomiyasu's fitness issues, I guess. So yeah, really, really interesting stuff and good news to wake up to this morning. Short pause. When we come back, we're going to talk with Victor Gyökeres. Welcome back to the Chronicles of a Gunner podcast with me, Harry Simeon. Hope you're all good. Hope you're all well. Let's talk Victor Gyökeres, the Sporting striker who has been linked with a move to Arsenal quite a bit in recent times. And it seems to be picking up a little bit more traction, that kind of chat, now that we're in an international break. As I always say, I don't ever want to get carried away by rumours that surfaced during an international break. But I think, you know, I think because this is one that we've heard a lot about in previous times as well, I think it's worth probably just sort of discussing this a little bit and having a bit of a chat about it. Because for me, he'd be a good option. He'd be a really, really good option. I really do believe that. I think he's somebody that has a really well-rounded skill set. I think he is somebody who, you know, has proven that he can constantly rise to new levels. He obviously made his name really producing at Coventry in the Championship. And I remember at that point looking at him and thinking, you know, this is a guy who is showing signs that he can up at a level. But then I wondered whether he could actually manage that step up. And people will say, oh, no, you know, actually, I don't think that, that, you know, going to Sporting is necessarily indicative of the fact that you can do it at the Arsenal level. You know, it's a whole nother ball game. But I think he's made that step up from Coventry to a club in Europe like Sporting, who currently sit top of the Portuguese league as well. And I just think on that basis, there's no reason to think that he can't step up to the next level, and that he can't step up to another challenge in Arsenal. You've got to think as well, when we talk about a lot of these players, you know, there is no guarantees. There is no guarantees that they'll be able to manage it or make that jump up. But I think Victor Gyökeres has shown in his career that he can level up when he needs to. Will this be a step too far? You'd hope not. But according to Portuguese media, Arsenal are leading the race to sign this guy. They obviously think that he's a good fit and that he'd be a really good addition. The Portuguese outlet is even going as far as saying that Arsenal would be willing to trigger his release clause, which is 100 million euros. Now, let me be clear. That's the release clause. That is the point at which Sporting have no choice but to accept the offer. However, I don't think it's going to take that much to get this deal done. Knowing the disparity financially between the Premier League clubs and the Portuguese clubs, you look at these release clauses, and what they are is a defense mechanism. It doesn't mean that it's 100 million euros or there's no deal. Okay. I think to sign a well sought after center forward, you are going to have to pay big, big dollars. And that's just the way it goes. Okay. A striker is always going to cost more than a defender, more than a midfielder, generally speaking, because they bring the most valuable commodity in football to the table, and that is goals. So Victor Gyökeres, as I say, has shown me that he can jump up levels. I can't tell you for sure whether he can jump up to the next level, which would be a club like Arsenal. But when you look at his record this season, it really, really is outstanding. He's just 25 years old, so he's got plenty of life left in him. 22 goals and 9 assists in 24 league appearances. 5 goals and 2 assists in 9 Europa League appearances, 6 goals and 3 assists in 4 Portuguese Cup appearances. This guy's not just a goal scorer, he's a provider. And that's why I think of all the centre-forward options that we're being linked with, he is one of the best fits, because he seems to be able to do the other side of the game, which is bringing others in, which is getting people you know, involved around him and allowing people to play off of him. That's what he can do. That's what he is. And I think that is something that's become really important in our system. People were telling me last year that Kai Havertz is in a centre forward, that he just can't do that role. Well, maybe he can't play the out and out centre forwards role, but he's come in as a sort of flexible centre forward in this Arsenal system, and he's hit the ground running. He's done brilliantly. He's scoring goals. He's contributing. He's providing assists. So there are certain forwards that can thrive in the right environment. Gyökeres feels like he's got a bit of both, you know, that goal scoring instinct and capability, but also the ability to, you know, be a provider, be someone that brings others into the game. And that's what's really, really impressive about him. So, yeah, I'm really, really interested in Victor Gyökeres. I don't know that I'd pay 100 million euros for him. But yeah, top player. and someone that I'd be really interested in. Do you know what? I've just had a message from one of my colleagues while we're live on air about putting my Nando's order in so I can get my Saka sauce, which is why I'm typing away, because it's frustrating me. It's not letting me add it. What is going on here? I think we're going to need to have a serious conversation about this. Right, that's the Victor Gyökeres chat from me. What have you guys been saying on this? Dan says, I think Gyökeres is a good striker, but not at the level that would improve the team. Fine for 30 million, but definitely not for 50 plus. Not a starter for a team wanting to win the PL or the Champions League. Interesting. What else have we got? Diallo said that he watched Y Scout tapes on both Gyökeres and Sesko yesterday, and that on the show that I did with Tom Canton, I was bang on about Sesko, in that I said he looks very, very raw and that Gyökeres is quite a bit ahead of him in terms of his development. John Daly says forward is the least amount we've spent on in all positions since Arteta came in. We've even spent more on goalkeepers. Whatever Arteta needs, I'm sure that the money won't be an issue. Fingers crossed. AT says, rate your work lately. Keep it up. Thank you so much, mate. Really, really do appreciate it. Okay, short pause. When we come back, we're going to talk about a Premier League centre-back that Arsenal are said to be showing an interest in. According to Sammy Mockbell's piece on Nottingham Forest, their Brazilian defender Murillo is the subject of interest from Arsenal. Now, there are claims that Arsenal are monitoring him, and I couldn't possibly tell you if that's true or not, if that's accurate or not. I'm sure Arsenal are monitoring a load of players. But he's a player that's impressed me, actually, since he's come to the Premier League. He's been one of the standout performers in a Nottingham Forest side this season that has generally struggled and that finds itself back in the drop zone now because of the points deduction as a result of them breaking the profit and sustainability rules. So, yeah, this is going to be one maybe to keep your eye on. 21 years old. Forest, I would have told you 6 months ago, would have probably demanded really big money for him. But, of course, their financial situation might dictate that they need to get players out and they need to get them out quickly and that they're actually not in a position where financially they can play hardball. I'd like to see us move for Murillo at the right price. That's the category that this one falls into for me. We probably do need another specialist centre-back in the squad. I know that we use centre-backs as full-backs at the moment as well, which means that you need more of them. Will that change? Will Mikel Arteta look to divert away from that further down the line? I don't know. You've got to constantly evolve as a football team, right, in the Premier League these days. But I just thought that story was worth touching on. The final thing I wanted to chat about was Saka's special sauce. Has anybody in the chat, has anybody tried it? Because I'm desperate to try it today. I really, really am. A Nando's sauce put together, designed by Bukayo Saka, who says he's been going to Nando's ever since he was a kid. And you know what? This is where Bukayo Saka becomes like super relatable, because like growing up in North London, I know that North London's not the only place with Nando's in it, but that's the kind of thing that I was doing when I was like 15, 16 years old, right? Going with my mates, Nando's, not too pricey, not cheap. So it's a little bit of a treat. It was an upgrade from your McDonald's or whatever. It was a bit of a kind of semi-treat, Nando's, and Bukayo Saka rolling back the years, remembering those days and putting together a Nando's sauce, which is his own kind of brand. A lot of people would look at that and say, oh my God, like, what's he doing with that stuff? But it's an endorsement, isn't it? And, you know, it just goes to show you that Bukayo Saka is just a completely well-rounded star in that he's been focused so much on his football growing up, and he's obviously done a massively brilliant job and is where he is today. But now the other stuff is starting to come for him, the commercial deals and all of that stuff, which clearly has value as well and will allow him to build a better life and stuff for his family and the people around him as well, which is great to see because he's such a likable young lad. Okay, I am going to leave it there. We're going to do questions on the next episode because I've got a dash, as you can tell. I'm in the Nightingale headquarters. I'm in one of the little meeting booths, and somebody who booked it for 12:30 is sitting outside and staring at me as if to say, come on, mate, I've got a meeting. But we will be back with another episode tomorrow. Make sure you give us a subscribe. Make sure you like the video. If you're watching on X, give it a repost, give it a like, all the rest of it. And if you are listening on audio, please do leave us a review. I'll see you all very, very soon with more on the Chronicles of Aguna. Takahiro Tomiyasu signed. Really great news to wake up to this morning. All the best. Goodbye.